Well, please turn with me to Mark chapter 7. Have you ever felt like you are being watched? Thank you. Most of you probably have. Have you ever felt like you're being watched by someone who's waiting for you to mess up? Waiting for you to do something that they think is wrong. This is really oppressive to live like this. Jesus has come to set us free from life such as this. And this actually happened to Jesus. It happened to his disciples, those who are waiting. They're looking for an opportunity to thrust in the sword and say, "Gotcha! I knew that you would do it." Let's look and see what happens here in Mark chapter 7. Now, when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem, they saw that some of his disciples ate with hands that were defiled. That is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands properly, holding to the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other traditions that they observe, such as the washing of cups and pots and copper vessels and dining couches. And the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Well did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. You leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men.' And he said to them, 'You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your own tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, whatever you would have gained from me is Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. And many such things you do.'" Let's pray together. Lord, we see Jesus speaking firmly here, and we desire to have hearts that receive what he is saying. So we ask that you would, by your Spirit, help us now. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Imagine that you grew up, and maybe this is true of you, washing your hands. You have to wash your hands before you eat, right? This is just the thing that you do. Maybe your parents taught you this is the way to be clean. And so one day you go over to somebody else's house and you're about to sit down for a meal. You've been playing outside with them. Maybe you kids can identify with this. You've been playing, you've been making mud pies, and oh, it's time to eat. And you and your friend run in. You go to the bathroom because you're thinking, "Oh, I need to wash my hands." But your friend just kind of wipes their hands on their pants and sits down at the table and starts eating. And you're thinking, "Oh, that's not right. Yuck. They're not doing what's right. Didn't they ever learn?" But maybe it's not washing hands, or taking the example from the Bible here. What about praying before you eat? We try to do this in our house. It is a tradition. There's nothing wrong with that. But say you go to someone else's house, and this is your tradition, and they don't pray before the meal. Or say you go out to a restaurant, you're thinking, "We've got to pray, we've got to pray, we've got to pray." And people start eating. Say you're with maybe extended family. People start eating before you're praying, and so you're thinking, "What should I do? What should I do?" And then all of a sudden you're like this. And then you start eating, right? We can feel anxious about these things. We can get tied up in knots. And maybe it's that you're at your friend's house who doesn't wash their hands, And it's time to pray before the meal, and they say, okay, let's pray, and they grab your hand to pray, right? Or sometimes we come to the table, and we sit down, and we're waiting, and then it's, dear God, thank you for this meal, amen. And then we just eat. It's just something that we say, something we do, and it's actually not in our heart. That's kind of what Jesus is talking about here. Sometimes we can make our traditions over God's commands, more important than God's commands. Or sometimes we elevate the things that we think should be there, but God has not mentioned that specifically in His Word. Now let me define traditions, because some of you have traditions that are beautiful and wonderful. Actually, praying before a meal can be a wonderful tradition. It can be a beautiful thing to do. Jesus is not saying, I'm coming to abolish tradition. Matthew tells us that Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't come to abolish it, He came to fulfill it. But what Jesus is doing, as one says, He is opposing any man-made teaching or rule that was in conflict with the divine law. He's opposing man-made tradition that's in conflict with the divine law. What the rabbis did, you can find this, people will write about this. The rabbis divided the law, the Mosaic law, into 613 decrees. Can you imagine that? Imagine having a book of all these things and you have to follow them. 365 of them were prohibitions. You may not do this, you may not do this, you may not do this. 248 of them were positive things. Do this. And these actually became more important than the law itself. Why? Why would we do this? Why would we elevate our traditions above the command of God? I think a few reasons are, well, they're easier to keep. It's not as easy to keep God's commands because there's depth to them. But if we set up our own rules, we can keep them a little bit easier. We can go through the motions. They're specific. Tell me exactly what to do. They can all also serve as we can measure our own progress. So if we pray before our meal, okay, check. We did that. We're good now. Now we can eat. And it just becomes a habit that is completely devoid of God. It's also a security. We do these things sometimes because we can see, I am actually obeying. Look, see my obedience. But God says, your hearts are far from me. How does man-made tradition keep our hearts far from God? Let's look at a few different ways. First of all, we see another authority. Who were these? Verse 1, Pharisees, scribes. Let's talk about the scribes for a minute. Some people call them the law specialists. So they are like lawyers who are examining all the different parts of the law, and they are responsible for handing these things down from their fathers, their elders. And the Pharisees, spoken of here, they're the ones who seek to keep all these laws, right? And many of the scribes would be Pharisees as well. The last time we hear about the Pharisees and the scribes in the book of Mark, we see over in chapter 3, it's actually almost the same phrase. Listen to this. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem. Oh, now when the Pharisees gathered to him with some of the scribes who had come down from Jerusalem. Chapter 7, verse 1. The last time we hear about them, they came down from Jerusalem and they were saying, Jesus is possessed by Satan. Okay, so this is the context that we're in here. They are not here to be nice to Jesus. They are here because they hate him. They're looking for things that are wrong. They're looking to get Jesus. Look at verse 2. The language that Mark uses is intentional. When they come down from Jerusalem, they saw. And that's how it begins. They're looking. They saw. What did they see? They saw that some of the disciples did not wash before they ate. Their hands were defiled. Now this is how it begins. They're looking. One person pointed out, notice it was some of the disciples. It wasn't all. They're maybe sitting back. Ah, see that guy with the red stripe over there? He didn't wash. Oh, look at that guy. He didn't either. They're looking, pointing out, and then it starts to churn within them. And so in verse 5, the second thing they do is they question. And this question isn't just a question in humility to learn, Jesus, could you please tell me, why are your disciples not eating with defiled hands? Maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I don't need to do these ceremonies. It's not like that. They're looking with the eyeball standing up on the ledge, looking down, saying, why aren't you doing what we're doing? Why don't you follow the law? You're not hardcore. You're not following what you've called to. You're not obeying our teaching. You know, often I think this is, we can see with the washing of hands, this is really kind of a petty issue. We're talking about washing hands. It's not like Jesus' disciples were going out and murdering people or breaking the law in that way. They're talking about washing hands. And I think so often when we have Pharisaical tendencies where we are looking for things in other people to point out, it's really petty things, isn't it? Such as, why do you use so much toothpaste? You're wasting our toothpaste. Look at all that on the brush. You only need this teeny little bit. And that was me years ago. Poor Karen. It's toothpaste. But those things, they can become so big and get in our eyes that we see, right? We see and then we question. It's not like, oh, maybe I should be using more toothpaste. Maybe my teeth aren't getting clean enough, right? Petty issues. Is this how you're treating others? Where you set yourself up as the police? You're lording it over people. When you do this, you are actually robbing God of His authority. Because you are setting yourself up as authority, Jesus says you are loading people with burdens too heavy to bear. You're loading them down. You're crushing them. Jesus came to set us free. He came to serve, to do the Father's will. And Peter instructs those who would lead the church, those who are elders, do not domineer. Don't be domineering over those in your charge, but be examples to the flock through humble service. We see authority set up above God. There's no humility here. There is critical eye questioning with an intent to expose. Number two, we can see this keeps our hearts far from God. There's no question how being another authority can keep our hearts far from God, because you are the authority. You're rejecting God's authority. Number two is a glaring hypocrisy. Look at the focus here. Let's get into what they're looking at here. They say, You do not wash your hands. Your hands are unwashed, and their focus is external, what they can see, while the internal is neglected. I was reminded of this last week. I was outside our house, and I'm trying to do some landscaping around our porch. I ripped all the bushes out last year, and there's just big holes of mud. Joshua asked, he said, is this our pig hole here? And it's certainly can be now. And I was doing work outside, and Karen comes out, and she's thankful for what I'm doing, but she said, it's great that you're working outside, but the inside of the house needs help too. Can you help me clean up the inside of the house? And I still need to do that, but we'll get to that. It's the same thing that's happening here. They're paying attention to the outside, but the inside is just rotten and messy. Jesus actually uses the examples. He said, you are like whitewashed tombs. You're pretty and painted on the outside, but inside they're full of rotting bones. dead things, dead people. Don't be like this, he's saying. You wash the outside of the cup. You look good on the outside, but inside, your hearts are far from me. They're corrupt. And it's not just with washing, but it's with their worship. Look at what he quotes from Isaiah, verse 6. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And in other words, he says, you might as well go home. This is vain worship. You're not accomplishing anything by doing this. And how often have we sung hymns or prayed the Lord's Prayer, gone through the order of worship, and it's just become rote, and we can almost do it on autopilot. Someone, pastor, told me this last week. He said, you know, the church, there's a church where people, the person would get up, the leader would say, the Lord be with you, and the people would respond, and also with you. And one day, the guy got up, and he was trying to get the microphone working. He's like, the microphone's, something's not working tonight, and the people responded, and also with you. You know, we can just get on this autopilot to the point where we're actually not worshiping. Our hearts are hard. We dress up and wear beautiful clothes to church. But then we turn around and gossip and slander others. This is what Jesus is talking about. A glaring hypocrisy. It appears obedient, but it really is rebellious. You know, many years I went to church as a kid, and I didn't want to be there. But I just went because I had to be there, and I was obeying. But I didn't want to, and my heart was rebelling against my parents. I remember telling them, I don't want to go to church, I don't need to go. And what I was really doing was I was rejecting God by doing that. And I was rejecting other people. It appeared obedient, but my heart was not there. I'd actually leave church in the middle. I would specifically sit, some of you know this, I'd sit up in the balcony, there's a huge chandelier, and I'd put that chandelier in between my dad, who was preaching, and myself, so he couldn't see me, and I could just do whatever I want. If you don't believe me, ask Seth. He and I grew up in church together. And I would actually leave the service in the middle. And I'd go over to the store and get some candy. And I would actually rummage through the garbage can to find cans, and then I would redeem the cans for a certain number of pennies, and then I would buy penny candy, and I'd come back to the church with this loud paper bag, and I would sit there kind of eating stuff and not really care. And other people could see, oh, look at, he's coming, he's so faithful, comes to church every week, but really it was hypocrisy. That it didn't matter, did it? I was rejecting God. In other words, I was worshiping in vain. The word hypocrisy comes from acting. In the old Greek plays, a person would come out on stage and they'd be wearing a mask. And they would be known as the hypocrite. Because they were pretending. And so the person would come out with the mask. And they would be known as the hypocrite. That's where we get the word hypocrisy. It's acting like you are being obedient, like you are worshiping in this case, like you are honoring God. It appears as though it sounds like it, but really inside, it's not like it. And I'll tell you that unbelievers, people who are not Christians, this is one of the biggest turnoffs to them when they see other Christians who say they're Christians, but they're not living like it. There's no real love of God in them. They hate it, and God hates it too. The third thing where we know our hearts are far from God is the result of all of this is that we live a life without love. A life without love. Verse 8, he says, you leave the commandment of God and you hold to the tradition of men. Do you know the word commandment there is actually singular? The commandment. Now, we don't know. Some people think, well, maybe he's summing up all the commandments. Well, what commandment summed up all the commandments? The greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So if you are rejecting the commandment of God, then you are rejecting God himself. And if you're rejecting God, then you're rejecting love. And if you're rejecting love, there's no way that you can love other people. There's no way that you can love God or others. It might appear as love, but that's not true love. And the commandments that God has given us are for our good. This is, in other words, this is the way to live. This is the way to life. This is the way to God. And Jesus gives the example here in verse 10. He says, Moses said, honor your father and mother. So he's picking one of the commands. Honor your father and mother. But what's happening? He actually adds another one. Whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. It's connected to that commandment. But what was happening here is he's speaking of probably older parents. They're getting older. They can't care for themselves. And so it's the child's responsibility to care for the parents financially. This is the way you are to show love. But what was happening was they wanted to hold on to their money. They didn't want to have to give it to their parents. And so they would say, yeah, you know, whatever you would have gotten to me, I actually gave it as it's Corban. I gave it as a gift to God. That means given as a gift. And so that absolves them of the responsibility of giving them anything. And this is what they were doing. And this was okay with the Pharisees. And some sources actually even said that even if you said it's given as a gift to God, you could actually keep it as yourself, for yourself, which is completely hypocritical and unloving. Instead, it's greedy and it's self-serving. It's not loving to God. It's not loving to the parents. And the Pharisees were saying, oh, you're following the command. Jesus gives us no assurance to those who live in this way. The Pharisees were not those who were blessed by God. They were not the ones who were going to inherit eternal life because they had not received his love. And I would plead with you, do not live, do not reject God in this way. Do not live outwardly a life that looks okay, but inwardly your hearts are far. So what do you do? How can we live for God? Well, the Lord says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And you can say, okay, I want to do that. And Jesus says, if you love me, you will what? You will keep my commandments. But directly speaking here, he's saying the same thing. And so I could just say to you, if you want to follow God, then keep his commands. If you want to love the Lord, then do his will. Follow him with your heart. And so we say, okay, I'm going to do this. And then we fail and we find out we actually don't love. We turn away naturally. And I hope that some of you are sitting here this morning thinking, wow, we've just been told all about elevating traditions. We've been talked about hypocrisy and living a life without love. That explains me. That defines who I am. This is me. I don't show love. Well, do you know what? The commandments reveal to us that we are commandment breakers. We don't show love the way that God has called us to. And do you know what that should do in your heart? It should humble you. Because the sacrifice of God is a broken and contrite heart. And the Pharisees here weren't humbled. What they should have said was, wow, Jesus, you're right. We've broken this. We need you. Can you help us? Please have mercy on us. But they didn't respond that way, did they? The commandments lead us to Christ. This is the purpose of God's law, to reveal sin in our hearts, to show us our brokenness. This is why David says, oh, how I love your law. I love your law. You know why? Because it showed him his need for God. It showed him his need for Christ. I can't keep this, and I need your help to keep it. And we have the the great truth in Ezekiel 36 that God is saying, I know you can't keep this. I know you have broken. You've profaned my name. I know you have not loved. But I am coming and I will act and I will put a new heart in you. I will take your heart of stone out. I will put in a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you. I will cause you to walk in my ways. I will help you to obey me, and you will glorify me. You will show the world who I am by doing this. And the only way that we can have this is through Jesus Christ. He is the one who has followed the law perfectly. He's kept every commandment with perfect obedience, and he takes your disobedience on the cross, and he gives you his obedience. So that when you are before God, he puts his spirit within you. So now you actually have a conscience. You're convicted. You're humbled when you break God's law. You're humbled when you fail to love. And you come to him saying, Lord, forgive me. I'm broken. I need Jesus. And Jesus comes and helps you, and the Spirit lives within you. Do you know what? Speaking of washing hands, the washing that we have received is with the blood of Jesus. He says, you were washed, you were cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. This is the washing that matters. A cleansing of our hearts. And now in faith, by his grace, guess what? You're set free to submit to his authority. You're set free to remove yourself from the throne, that he will remove you. You're set free to live not in hypocrisy, but instead in integrity. You're set free to love. Why? Because you are loved. You're set free to love God because he has loved you. You're set free to love others and so fulfill the command of God. Now, reading this can be challenging. It can be crushing. And I hope to some extent it is crushing. If you're feeling like, wow, I've done this. This is me. I've honored God with my lips. My heart's far from him. I've elevated my wants, my traditions, what I think is right above the way that God has taught me. Then use that to humble yourselves before the Lord and ask his forgiveness. And he will help you. His grace is for you and for me and for all who call upon his name. Might we do that today by his grace. And be encouraged. He will strengthen you. He will help you. He will convict you. It's a blessing. He will show you how to love and teach you. And part of that is living in community. Part of that is coming and living among each other. It's a great place to learn how to love one another. That's why we meet together. That's why this was important. The Pharisees and scribes came in this context. Jesus and his disciples were there. The early church was there. And Jesus didn't just walk away. He spoke to them. He's speaking grace to them, and the response should have been to turn in humility. But yet, they were hardened. So I plead with you, turn in humility. Ask for forgiveness. He will forgive you and help you. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we're reminded of our need for you. We thank you for your law, for it shows us how we have fallen short. We know that your law itself cannot save us. Only Jesus Christ can save us. And you have given us your law to lead us to Christ. You've given us these commands to show us that Jesus is the only one who keeps these perfectly. And that because of him, now we can live and we're free to obey and to love. Father, forgive us for our hypocrisy. Forgive us for being people who glory in what people can see on the outside, but yet the inside is left untended. We ask that you would heal our hearts, cleanse our hearts by the blood of Jesus. Forgive us, Lord. Strengthen us. Give us your grace. And we thank you for your promise. We thank you for the life of Christ, that it's only in him that we live a life of love. Will you do it, Lord? We ask that you will in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.